So here we go, a new year, a new season, a new zman of learning about Shabbos Kodesh. And we should begin in the beginning. Not just because yesterday was the beginning, was Parashas Bereishis, but because our experience of Shabbos is very much rooted in the beginning. And so what I'd like to explore with you today is really the underpinning, the origins, the greatest vision of what Shabbos is meant to be for us. So to do that, we're going to take a step back from thinking about Shabbos. So let's put Shabbos on the back burner completely. And let's think about something else. Let's think about a parallel that I suspect some of you have considered in the past when you learned Chumash, the second half of Sefer Shmos. This parallel starts to creep up a little bit. But we should really bring it into sharp focus and notice the strong connections, the overlay between the story of Bereishis, the beginning of creation, and the Mishkan. So if you see here on the first page, I gave you a little chart. On the right side, we have the beginning of the Torah, the creation story. And what word appears multiple times in the story of creation, obviously? The word Vayaas. So it's all in the same font, so you can follow the pattern. It's in Pasuk Zion, it's in Pasuk Tes Zion, it's in Pasuk Chaf Hei. The Ribono Shel Olam is involved in Asiya, creating. We spoke about this once, that the way that Hashem brings the spirituality, the Or Ein Sof, up from the highest levels that we can't comprehend down into something that's physical, that's corporeal, is that the light, the energy of Hashem, goes through four filters that stand for Abia. Aleph is Atzilus, the most ethereal realm. Then is Bria, Bara Elokim. Then there is Yitzira, which is fashioning. And then there is Ayin, which is Asiya. That's the world, the realm that we live in. So Vayaas is the expression that Hashem caused everything to exist. That's Asiya. That's the realm that we live in. Where do you find the word Vayaas? I don't want to say the most, because maybe you can quibble with this. But certainly, if you look in Sefer Shmos, the word Vayaas appears many, many times in the context of the building of the Mishkan. So what I did on the left side is I gave you a little picture of my concordance at home. I think probably people younger than I would do this using a computer, but I go to a concordance. How many times does it say Vayaas? I think before they had Google, they had a concordance. So I went to my shelf and I took out. And you see, look where it says, after Bereishis, Shmos, umpteen times. And the way it works in the concordance is first they give you the chapter, then they give you the verse. So, Lamed Vav, Perek Lamed Vav, where they built the Mishkan, 11, 13, 14, 17, 18, 19, 20, 23, 31, 33, 35, 36, 37. I would have Xeroxed all of this. It's a Rachmanis on the trees. So I just gave you the concordance because the Asiya of the Mishkan is parallel to the Asiya of Ma'aseh Bereishis. You're creating something. That's Aleph. Beis. When the Asiya is done, what does the Ribono Shel Olam do? Vayar. He looks at it. He reflects on it. He sees it. Vayar Elokim Pasuk Lamed Aleph Es Kol Asher Asah. He sees everything that was. Vihine Tov Mod is very good. Vayar Vayivoker Yom HaShishi. So come to the left side. Moshe Rabbeinu sees everything that's finished. Vayar Moshe es kol ha-malacha. And they did it like the way the Ribono Shel Olam said. So Vayas, Vayar. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu respond after he sees how good it is? Vayavarech. Vayavarech osam Moshe. Which is parallel to when the Ribono Shel Olam in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Ches, on the right side, when he finishes the creation of Adam Rishon, Vayivarech Osam Elokim Vayomalahem. So God fashioned and so did the Jewish people. He saw, so Moshe Rabbeinu saw. He blessed, Moshe Rabbeinu blessed. What does it say when it was all done, literally, Hakol Bakol Mikol Kol, Vayuchulu Hashumayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am, was finished. That's what we say in the beginning of Perek Beis, bottom right, in the italics. Vayuchulu Hashumayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am, Vayachalu Lukim Bayom Hashvi. What happens when the Mishkan is all said and done? The left column, Shmos Perek Mem Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayakim es hachatzer. So Moshe Rabbeinu now, after he finishes building everything, he puts it up. Vayakim hakamas hamishkan. Soviv lamishkan v'lamizbeach. He puts up the courtyard. Vayitin es masach shara chatzer. And he puts up the curtain, the screen. Vayachal Moshe es hamalacha. He finishes. Is vayachulu. You see, it's mamish exactly the same. Even more interesting, maybe you could argue, is this fascinating parallel that I saw. Many, many contemporary Tanakh, Talmidim, and Rabbanim, and Rabbeim are talking about these parallels in different ways. So I saw somewhere, I forget where I saw this, I never thought of this before. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, there was some koach, that we don't understand exactly what this means, some special quality, some ruchnius, that's called Ruach Elokim. It's a very high level, obviously. Pasuk Beis, V'haaretz ha'isaso v'vo v'choshech ha'pnei shahom v'ruach Elokim. Ruach Elokim, the Gemara associates that, Medrash associates it with Moshiach. That's the presence of Hashem, whatever that means. That was the force that existed at the time of Briyas Ha'olam. When it came time to building the Mishkan, what did the Ribbono Shel Olam bring out to the world, to the person who's going to be the architect of the Mishkan? Take a look on the left-hand column, same font. Vayamale also, the Ribbono Shel Olam filled Betzalel with what? Ruach Elokim. How about that? It's the same phrase. Somehow the expression of the Ribbono Shel Olam that existed at the beginning of the Bria was brought out into the world through the personality of Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur l'Mata Yehuda. You want to go even deeper? Take a look in the first Rashi in Chumash, in the first Pasuk, not the first Rashi, but the Rashi in the first Pasuk, Rashi notes that the phrase Bereshis Bara Elokim is significant. It could have said, or you might have expected it to say, Bereshis Bara Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. It's a different way that Hashem relates to the world, the way that Hashem is revealed in the world. When you have a name, when you have a title, that reflects a way of relating, of connecting, of presenting yourself. It relates to how people relate to you. So let's say some people will call you Safta, and some people will call you Mrs., and some people will call you Mom, and you're the same person, it's only one person. So why do you have different names? Because the relationship is different. The way that people relate to their grandmother is different. The people relate to their sister, the way they relate to their mother, it's different. So the Ribbono Shel Olam kivyachol, excuse me, it's been a very, very busy time, so I apologize. The Ribbono Shel Olam kivyachol has different names because he relates to the world in different ways. So Rashi says, why is it that the way that the Ribbono Shel Olam relates to the world in the Bria is first Elokim? Only later, after Briyas Adam, which is not for today's discussion, only later does he introduce the name that we're more familiar with, which is what we call Hashem, the name, the ineffable name, the four-letter name, what they call the tetragrammaton, the four-letter name, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, that we don't pronounce, except in very rare circumstances in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi wonders about this. So some of you are thinking, oh, because the name Elokim has to do with nature. So what's the pshat? Why is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, began the creation from a specific frame? So Rashi says, I'll tell you. V'lo ne'mar bara Hashem. You see in source number one, shebitchila, at the beginning, ola b'machshava. It went up in the Ribbono Shel Olam kiviyachol in his machshava, in his thought. Livroso b'midas hadin, to create the world with a measure of strict judgment. Midas hadin means there is no negotiation, there is no accommodation. It is, you do the crime, you do the time. That's what it is. It's a very natural consequence. It's natural in the sense that the same way if you have a little fish that swims in the ocean and the little fish, Nebuch is a yosem, and the big fish, the shark, comes along and the little fish says, you know, Rachmanis, ich bin a yosem, you should have Rachmanis. My mother's waiting for me at home, but she's, you know, she's all alone. My father passed away. The shark doesn't, that doesn't, it doesn't go. Even in Disney, it doesn't go. Because teva is a natural order. It's a consequence of just the reality of being a small fish that gets into an interaction with a shark. So Elohim, teva, is midas hadin. Midas hadin, there's no negotiation. There's no rachmanus. Midas harachmim is when you could say, Ribbono Shel Olam, of course we don't deserve. And this is what we spoke about in the past, Ola Voda of the Yameh, Haratzon, of shifting, of asking, of pleading. So Rashi says, originally, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he said there had to be din. It's not that God had a thought, and then he changed his mind. It's a layering. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, on the level of machshava, in an ideal world, the world has to have a standard. There has to be some standard. Which is why, parenthetically, and this is extremely, extremely sensitive, there were certain tzaddikim that lived in this strata of din that the malachim couldn't even understand. When Rabbi Akiva was being martyred, the malachim said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Zu Torah v'zu schara? How could it be? So Ribbono Shel Olam, what did he say? The Gemara says, this is the lashon, Kach ola b'machshava lefanai. That was the level of machshava. That there should be a man in the course of history who lives on the realm of machshava, meaning, said the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal from Keren B'Yavne, Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldman, meaning he lives at the level of din. There's such a tzaddik who lives at that level of machshava that the rest of us, mi yitzdak l'fanecha kol chai, we can't live at that level, but there's such a person in history. The malachim couldn't get that. They couldn't get that. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, that's the machshava. And if you don't accept that, what does the Gemara say? I'm going to turn the world back to tohu vavohu. Because b'tchila, initially, there was a machshava, there was a thought that the world had to have some level of a standard. But Rosh she'ein olam iskayim, he saw the world couldn't function like that. We can't function like that. We're human beings. We couldn't go 5 minutes without eating the one tree. We couldn't make it. So what did he do? Hikdim midas rachmim l'shitfa l'midas hadin. Later, when we describe the creation from a new perspective, later, after Perek Beis, first it's bara Elokim. The ideal, the machshava is judgment. But then, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, it's not going to work. So when it comes to look at it from the second vantage point, because you obviously, you notice when you read Bereishis, there's one perspective on creation, then they tell the same story from a different vantage point. It's the same story, just two angles. The second time, what does Rashi say? It says in Pasuk, B'yom Asos, when God, Hashem Elokim, Eretz V'Shamayim. Second time around, when we introduce this practical Asiya, it's first Hashem. We need the Rachmanis first, because if in practicality it was Din first, we wouldn't survive. But what is the Lashon that Rashi is using and that the Gemara is using about this idea that the world somehow stands on this strata of din, that's at the ultimate highest level? It's referred to, it's expressed as machshava, the thought of God, which is in contrast to, obviously, amira. The Gemara says that God created the world with 10 statements, which obviously doesn't mean that God has lips and a mouth and breath, but it's an expression. This is higher. This is operating on the level of God's thought, whatever that means. I don't know what that means, but it's machshava. When it came time to build the Mishkan, what was the nature of the binyan, of the construction? What did it require? Says the Gemara, says the Pasuk, Perek Lamed Hei, source number 2, Betzalel, the man who had Ruach Elokim, what did he need to do? V'lachshov machshavos. What do you think? It's a parallel? Betchila, the foundation of the world is predicated, it's predicated on a machshava. The Mishkan, lachshov machshavos. Uvacharoshes evan lamalus uvacharoshes eitz lasos b'chol meleches machsheves. Which, of course, we'll come back to. This whole idea that the Briyas Ha'olam is prefiguring the later pattern of the Mishkan is expressed straight out in Chazal in this Medrash. So take a look in the Tanchum in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei. Amar Reb Yaakov Reb Asi. Lama hu omer. Why does it say Lama omer Hashem ohavti ma'on beisecha umbekom mishkan kvodecha? Why does the Ribbono Shel Olam cherish the Mishkan? Why is it so beloved? Bishvil sheshakol keneged brias ha'olam. Because it is the equivalent of the creation of the world. So in the original Medrash, I don't know if the rabbis wrote with the indented lines, but I added that just so we could follow. So follow the little, I don't know what those are called, the indented dash things. It's not in the manuscript version, let's just say. But it's here to make it easy. First day, because you could follow each day. Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Shishi, Shvi. What does it say on the first day? Bereshis bar Elokimus Hashamayim v'Haaretz. And then it says, No te shamayim kairiya. Pasuk says in Tehillim. Didn't we just read that this morning in Baruch Hinafshi? The Ribbono Shel Olam made the heavens like a yiriya. What's a yiriya? Cloth, canopy. What does it say in the Mishkan? V'asisa yiriyo zizim. You make a cloth canopy. One parallel. Nach, sheni, Monday, yehi rakia, and you have to be mavdil. So what does it say in the Mishkan? The Mishkan ksiv, v'hivdilo haparochas. The curtain divides, just like the Rakia divided. Says the Medrash on Tuesday, what do we have? Mayim, Yikavu HaMayim. What do we have in the Mishkan? A giant sink that collects the water. It's called the? That's right, the Kior. Kior Veskano. Wednesday, Revi, what did he create? Ma'oros. What do we have in the Mishkan? The menorah. Thursday, he created Ophos. Sheretz nefesh chayav of ofev. And what do we have connected? He says, we have kvasim v'ofos, u'v'mishkan v'hayu akruvim porse knafayim. The kruvim had wings, like ofos. Just like in the Bria, the creation. Bashishi, did you ever notice all these parallels? It's unbelievable. Bashishi, what does it say on the sixth day? Adam Rishon was created. We put into the Mishkan the Kohen Gadol. Which, by the way, there's a lot more to say about this. The idea of the Kohen Gadol actually is a fixture of the Mishkan in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol is not just a person who works there. Kohanim, we work in the Mishkan, and we have Levim who help us, but the Kohen Gadol actually is furniture of the Mishkan, and that's why he belongs here. It's like built in. That's why the Kohen Gadol is never allowed to leave, because he's like the furniture. Kind of, yeah. The Kohen Gadol is like furniture in the Mishkan. Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzi, he can never leave. And there's a lot more to say about this. And that's why there's certain kapara, like you talked about, the clothing, there's a tzitz. The Kohen Gadol has a certain, what do you call this? Like a crown type of thing. Goes on his forehead. It says Kodesh LaHashem. That, the Gemara says in Yuma, creates a certain kapara. There's a big machlokas in the Tanoim. But that is like the equivalent of like a service that's happening, just the presence of the tzitz. So the Kohen Gadol, it's like the Bria, it's like the creation. He's a fixed piece of it. He's not just like someone like me. If I was a Kohen, I would come in the morning, I would do my thing, and then I would go home. Even though Kohen Gadol sometimes goes home, he's like part of the Mishkan. It's for another time. That's why he's in this list, because he's like piece of the Mishkan. The Kohen Gadol is a piece of the Mishkan. And then the last word, Beshvi, what does it say? We said it, Vayechulu, and then Vayechulu, Vayevarech, and Vayevarech. Beautiful. So now that we have drawn all these parallels, so let's ask the obvious question. So what is the meaning of this? What is the significance of the parallels between the Bria Sa'olam, the creation of the world, and the Mishkan? Well, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam create the world in the first place? It's a good question, right? You're shaking your head. You don't know. Truth is, none of us know. Because it's the secret, the deepest ratzon, the ratzon, the will of God behind the level of Keser, which we'll never understand. So different people give different explanations. But one way of expressing this in Hasidic teachings is that somehow the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted there to be a dira. What is a dira? Right, apartment, a dwelling, a place to live, betachtonim, in the lower world. What do we say, Adon Olam? We say, Adon Olam, b'terem kol, yitzir nivra, la'eis nasa b'chefzo kol, after everything was created, then, azai, then, melech shmo nikra. Only after things were created, people were created, then the Ribbono Shel Olam becomes the melech. If there's no people, ein melech below am. There's no king if there are no folks. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted that there should be the presence of God, betachtonim. There's a guy in Israel, a rabbi in Israel, a scholar, wonderful teacher. His name is Rabbi David Aaron. So he wrote a book. I've heard him speak a few times. He wrote a book that I got once called The Secret Life of God, where he has a nice way of expressing this, explaining it. He says, imagine you were a philosopher. So I'm not very philosophically inclined, not that bright, so I don't get this joke. But if you're a philosopher, this is a very funny joke. Can God create a rock that he can't lift? I like that. That's the philosopher look. He's got that. So the philosopher, so Alpi Kabbalah, what's the answer? The answer is yes and yes. Meaning, the Ribbono Shel Olam is like this. He says, the Ribbono Shel Olam is perfect. Right? Is or ein sof. So there's no lack, kivyachol. But something which is in a state of static perfection is different than something which is in the creation of perfection. To take something which is lacking and make it perfect. It's a new dimension. So kivyachol, the Ribbono Shel Olam, in his ultimate ratzon that we can't grasp, is of course all perfect. But then he's like, you know, I have a new idea. I'm going to create goodness and light that someone else is going to fill. Give them that opportunity. So I'm going to do this trick, which is a trick that we also don't understand. It's called Tzimtzum, where the Ribbono Shel Olam kivyachol removes his presence from a certain space, which is impossible, because if the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence isn't there, then there's no chiyus, there's no life. But somehow it's perceived as if Hashem vacuums out his presence and he leaves a big space. And in that space, he puts little people. Like when I was younger, we used to have the Fisher Price. We called them Menchies. We used to play with them as kids. The Fisher Price people. So the Ribbono Shel Olam kivyachol, so to speak, he vacuums out the revealed presence of God. Obviously, the presence of God is everywhere, but he makes it hidden. That's called Tzimtzum, which we don't understand. And then he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give all these little menchies, these people, they're going to build a world where they're going to bring out the presence of God that was there before. So there was the presence of God everywhere. It was or ein sof. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam is mitzamtzim himself, and he says, here's what we're going to do. You guys, your job is to bring the light back that was. And that's the gift that Hashem gives to all the sparks of neshamas that come into the world, to bring out that light. And so even though Hashem, of course, is perfect, but now he creates a new level of perfection in a dynamic way of us bringing that light in. And that's chesed that the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing for us. So hatov rotza lehitiv. This is the experiment of the world. So the idea is the Ribbono Shel Olam wants that his light should be manifest in the world. That was the goal. So if you were to ask, so to speak, God, interview him, at the time of Bria Sa'olam, he would say, why are you making all of these things? He would say, oh, because when I'm about to hide myself, I want them to have a space in which they could bring me back. bring out the light of Hashem. Let's do that. And that was great for about 5 minutes. Because the Chazal say that on the same day that he was created, on that Friday, that Erev Shabbos, Yom HaShishi, Adam HaRishon and Chava, they ate from the Eitz Hadas. Which is a whole other discussion, how and why that came about, and what we're supposed to learn from that. But now, the world is broken. Because someone, instead of bringing Hashem's light into the world by eating from every other tree, the Mesh Chachma says it was actually a mitzvah to eat from all the trees. He would have been Mekayim a mitzvah, eat from all the trees. The Zohar HaKadosh says he would have even been allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas once it became Shabbos, which is interesting for another discussion. But because he violated that one line, now the world is broken. Now it's much harder to create a Dira Batachtonim. He's going to get kicked out of Gan Eden. And now we're draying around in a world that's shattered and broken. And the opportunity to bring back the Dira Batachtonim is much harder. So Rebbe Shlom says, fast forward, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a Torah. You're going to all stand in the presence of God, and Hashem's presence is going to come down into the world, and I'm going to give you the spiritual guide. And what is that spiritual guide going to help us do? To bring back the presence of Hashem. Perfect. We're going to go back to the goal. The goal is that there should be some level of hiddenness, the creation of world, of the world, the existence. And now we're going to bring Hashem's presence. So what happens when Hashem is completely revealed at Har Sinai? The Gemara says in source number 4, when Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, the expression is, Ba Nachash al Chava. The Nachash was physically intimate with Chava. Hitol Ba Zuama. It injected a filth in us. The darkness. But Yisrael, when the Jewish people, Sha'amdu al Har Sinai, when we stood at Sinai, what happened? Paska Zuamasan. That filth, we became back to that level where Hashem's presence was all over. And we were going to receive the Torah and live that Torah, and it was going to be like Gan Eden. It's going to be amazing, right? How long did that last? According to one Medrash, it lasted 11 days. Before people started looking at each other and says, you know, we need, we're gonna. And where does that result in? It results in the Chet HaEgel. According to one Medrash, it was 11 days. That was it. So we go from this time of standing at Har Sinai. Why does the Medrash say, Parcha Nishmasim, that their souls went out? Because it was like a Gan Eden experience. People couldn't, they weren't ready for that. They couldn't handle that. They were living in a regular world, post getting kicked out of the garden. Hashem says, let's do it. So he reveals himself at Har Sinai, and all the souls are like, this out of our capacity. So that's why the Gemara says that in the first two, their souls went out. So then we fall back down. So where are we after the Chet HaEgel? We're exactly in the same parallel of after Adam HaRishon got kicked out of Gan Eden. We did something really bad. We missed the opportunity to bring Hashem's presence into the world. So what happens now? We need to recreate Hashem's presence. We need to find a new way to rebuild that original Bria, that vision. Can we create a place in the world where Hashem's presence will be manifest? So what does the Ribbono Shel Olam tell us to do? Build a Mishkan. This is exactly the opinion on the bottom of your source here in source number 5. Says the Ramban on the left side. No, let's start with Rashi on the bottom of the right side in Perek Lamed Aleph. Rashi says, Ein muktam u'me'ucher batorah, ma'ase ha'egel, the episode of the calf, kodem l'tzivoy meleches ha'mishkan, came before the commandment of the Mishkan. Why? Because the Mishkan is the tikkun, the fixing, the mending, bringing us back to where we were before we did the Chet HaEgel. The Ramban on the left side disagrees. He says, no, the Torah is in order, and we got the commandment to do the Mishkan at Sinai. Why? Because the goal of the Mishkan was to continue Sinai experience. That we should all be standing in the world, hearing the voice of God, and expressing it in the world, just like it was in Bryas HaOlam. The purpose of the Mishkan is to be a place of Hiskalus, of the revelation of God, that we bring out Hashem's light in the world the way that was meant, Began Eden Mikedem. It's going back to the original story. It's a perfect parallel. He created the world, and then we broke it. So now what are we going to do? We're going to give it another shot. It's true. The whole world is not going to be a gigantic Mishkan. We couldn't do that. We failed at that. So Ramban Shlomo says, so let's do this. Let's make a little microcosm of the original plan for Bryas HaOlam. One little space where when you go there, you're going to be able to create an environment that everybody feels like Mamish God is here. That's going to be the goal of the Mishkan. It's going back to recreate the original vision of Gan Eden Mikedem before we got kicked out, before we broke it. That's the creation of the Mishkan. So now, with all of this, we can understand what it is that we get as a gift every single Shabbos. Says the Medrash, Cain, he bumps into his dad wandering in the street, and Adam Rishon says, I heard what happened over there. What on earth? He says to him, well, you know, Asisi Tshuva, I did Tshuva v'nisparsharti. I came to some kind of compromise with God. Adam Rishon says, Tshuva? You can go back to before you broke something? I had no idea. I didn't think of that. By the way, it's a Nebuch because many Mepharshim point out, if Adam Rishon, when he was asked, Ayeka, he would have said, I'm sorry, I broke it, instead of saying, she did it. Right? That would have been a better response. That would have been tshuva. But Adam Rishon didn't chop tshuva for some reason. So he says, wow, amazing. Posach v'omar, Medrash says, what did Adam say when he heard that there's a concept of tshuva that you can recreate what existed before? Posach v'omar, mizmar shir l'yom ha-Shabbos. That's what it says in the Medrash. So when you first read that Medrash, you're thinking, what's the connection? What's the connection between tshuva and Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos? And when you look at Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, which we have on the source here, right here on source number 7, so you look through the lines, Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Ah, let's sing a song about Shabbos. Mizmor, Mizmor Shir. Let's sing a song about Shabbos. You ready? Let's praise God in Pasuk Beis, Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha, with musical instruments in Dalid. Hashem, you made me joyous. How great you are, Pasuk Vav. People who are fools, they don't see this. Va'ata Pasuk Yud, Tes Yud, Morim La'olam Hashem, you conquer all your enemies. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Tzadik Katam, Yifrach, the righteous. You go on and on, you're thinking, that's a very beautiful Mizmar. Is there any reference to Shabbos in this Mizmar at all? That's it. Let's sing a song of Shabbos. And we don't talk about that. We talk about something else. What are we talking about in this Mizmar? We're talking about the ultimate vision of Olam Haba, of a perfect world. A world in which the tzaddikim are shining, tzadik hatam ar yifrach, and the rishayim, the wicked, they get their due. This is the vision of Gan Eden. This is the Mizmar of Shabbos. Mizmar Shir L'Yom HaShabbos says that the Rosh Hashanah says, look, I'm going to give you a time. I'm going to carve out a realm of time, a slice of time that is going to bring us back to that original Bryas HaOlam Began Eden Mikedem. It's not coincidental that Adam was put into Gan Eden. His goal was La'avdil L'Shamra. He was created right before Shabbos to observe Shabbos. Shmira Shabbos is the main thing. Adam HaRishon says the Mizmar of Shabbos is the Mizmar of Tshuva, meaning he just realized that the world that he broke, the Olam Haba, the Gan Eden that he broke, had he done Tshuva, he could have brought it back. He says, oh, I didn't know there was a thing called Tshuva because I broke the Olam Haba, the Gan Eden. I could have brought it back. Every week, we go back to the Gan Eden Mikedem. That's the experience of Shabbos. That's the goal. That's the vision. The Mishkan now is the area of Gan Eden of Olam Haba in the realm of space, physically, proximally, and Shabbos is the Gan Eden Mikedem in the realm of time. So now you understand why both Briyas HaOlam and the Mishkan are tied together with Shabbos. The Pasuk says it right in front of us. Look at the bottom of the page. When we are given the tzivui of Shabbos, Kisheshis Yomim also Hashem es Hashemayim es Haaretz, in the Aseres HaDibros, the Ribono Shel Olam says to us, Vayonach Bayom HaShvi, rest on the seventh day, Al Kain Berach Hashem es Yom HaShabbos Vayikadosheyu. We got the day of Shabbos because the Ribono Shel Olam already planned that there's going to be a time that we need to come back to the Briyas HaOlam. We're going to do that every week. And of course, therefore, Chazal are sensitive to the juxtaposition of Shabbos and the Mishkan. Take a look on the back page. The first iteration of the creation of the Mishkan, the Tzivui, it begins in Pasuk Aleph in Perek Kaf Hei, and it's going to drive us through Perek Lamed Aleph. Right after Lamed Aleph Yud Aleph, this is summarized in this little piece from Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon from his Sefer on Shabbos. He just captures it in one graphic, in these five lines. The Mishkan is created. We're told what we need to do. And what are we commanded? Observe Shabbos. After the Chet HaEgel, we are reintroduced to the concept of Shabbos and Asiyas HaMishkan. Because Shabbos is this idea of renewing and recreating the ideal, the Gan Eden Mikedem. We lost it after the Briyas HaOlam, so we got it back at Har Sinai. We lost it after the Chet HaEgel, we got it back with Binyan HaMishkan. And that means that even if the Mishkan is destroyed and dismantled, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, rebuilt and destroyed, Shabbos is never destroyed. It's Kviya V'Kaima, Chazal say. It's fixed. You can never miss Shabbos. We can adjust the calendar when it comes to Yom Tov, but not Shabbos. Shabbos is Kviya V'Kaima. Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then Yisrael V'Hazmanim. The Ribono Shel Olam gave us this gift already. Kodma L'Olam. He planned it. He knew that the world was going to need a way to connect to him in this Gan Eden state, in the ideal state, to come back to him. So he pre-planted it. That's the nature of Shabbos of the Bria. And then he gave us the opportunity in a fallen world to recreate it with the Mishkan. But even in the absence of that Mishkan, each one of us, every single Shabbos, when you recite Kiddush, when you observe all of the dinim of Shabbos, you're basically in your own life creating Gan Eden Mikedem. You're creating the ideal world that the Ribono Shel Olam envisioned, that we are expressing that there is a God. By refraining from doing any malacha, we're saying, Ribono Shel Olam, it's all you. And that was the whole purpose of creation in the first place. It was that there should be a Dira Tachtonim, that there should be a world that just shouts with their actions, not just with their words, expresses the idea, Ein Od Movado, that Hashem is the creator of everything. That's what we do on Shabbos, by our very observance, our very being, our Kedushas HaShabbos, our Shmiras HaShabbos. That is the ultimate fulfillment of the Mishkan and the Briyas HaOlam.